Don't lose heart. Pray every day for what really counts in your children's life. By the way, there's power in prayer. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. I'm not telling you 10 little rules to make godly kids today, dads, or 10 rules to be a good dad. I'm saying 10 priorities that lay hold of God and prayer. Prayer, God hears prayer. He said, pray. You don't have because you don't ask. He continually told us to seek, knock, pray. And I'm telling you, unless the Lord builds your house, you're laboring in vain.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue with a practical message to young dads. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, 10 Things I Would Tell a Young Dad. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Right in Proverbs 3, where he's giving the essence of wisdom, trust in the Lord with all your heart, he closes the chapter with this thought. The one whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And Hebrews picks up, turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews picks up on it and quotes it. We'll get there fairly soon. Trust me. We're going toward Hebrews 12 eventually. But look at verse 6. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. I've often said, when we kids in the neighborhood would cut up and do things we shouldn't do, etc., I never worried for the neighbor kids when my dad got there. He didn't care about Mark and Joe and Bill. He cared about Scott. And I was the one that got scourged. I was the one who was disciplined. I was the one that he loved. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. What son is there whom his father doesn't discipline? He could write that in the first century. I don't know if he'd dare write that in the 21st century, because sadly, you can hardly ask that rhetorically. But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good. You know, my dad made mistakes. I made plenty of mistakes disciplining my kids. But there is one who never makes any mistakes. They disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he, look at verse 10, he disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. All discipline, mark it, parents, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who've been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Look to the long term, Dad. I know it's not easy to discipline your child, and maybe at the crunch time it seems sorrowful, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So when I was thinking of the resultant term here on this fourth point, I first put love, because I want to underline that. If you love your kids, you'll discipline them, and they will be secure in that love. They'll know you love them. Kids long for someone to care enough to keep them in line and to spare them the problems of their disobedience. But I would be just as biblical and maybe better to say verse 11, the result of discipline is righteousness. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Fifth, shepherd your kids, Dad. Parent them, father them by teaching them. Teaching them. Don't leave this up to the Sunday school teacher. Teach them the Word of God. We're not all teachers. The Bible underlines it. We're not all teachers, but we're all to be teaching. Colossians 3. parallel to Ephesians 5. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you're letting the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, Colossians 3 says, you'll be teaching and admonishing one another. Spirit-filled Christians, Word-drenched believers, teach each other. And if we teach each other, and we do, and we should. And Hebrews, remember in chapter 6, he said, by this time, you guys, or at the end of chapter 5, really, he says, you guys ought to be teaching, but you need to be taught again. Don't say, well, I'm no teacher, I don't teach. No, we should be teaching. And if that's true just generally, how much more true with those whom God has entrusted to you? These little guys and gals that are yours. Do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Then teach my sheep. Feed them. He asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know. You know I love you. Then nurture, tend, feed, nourish. What kind of a dad wouldn't provide three meals a day if he could? Well, if that's true in the physical realm, how much more in the spiritual realm? Teach them. Three times he asked Peter that, and three times he said, we show our love to Christ. Do you love me? Then teach mine. Feed them. And dad, your kids need to be taught by dad himself, not just... Now, don't get me wrong. I say don't entrust this to the Sunday school teacher or leave this to the pastor. I've devoted my life to teaching and little ones, and I want them to know, but I can't replace you. Some pulpiteer long distance from them. No, they want to hear from you, and you teach them, and they listen. Teach them. Sixth, parent your kids by praying for them daily. What do you really want in life? I believe your prayer life will reflect that. And that's an indictment sometimes of my praying, because I'm praying about non-consequential things compared to the real issues. And if all you find yourself praying for is somebody's got a broken arm or somebody who's diagnosed with cancer and physical things, and we should pray about everything, don't get me wrong. But you read the prayers of Scripture, and the prayers of Scripture are a little more essential type things. Pray for your kids daily. Pray without what? Stopping. Without ceasing. I used to wonder, what does that mean? I mean, are you praying all the time? Pray without ceasing. Well, in one sense, yes, but the idea is don't quit. Look at Luke 18. Turn to Luke 18. And think of this as dads. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who didn't fear God and didn't respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I don't fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? Listen, if some widow could wear out an unrighteous judge by coming, she kept coming, verse 3. She kept coming continually, verse 5. And she got what she wanted. And Jesus said, I want to tell you a story to teach you to what? Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. Pray every day for what really counts in your children's life. And by the way, what's the result? Well, that's why I don't like this word result. I wish I could think of something better. But I'm just saying There's power in prayer. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. I'm not telling you 10 little rules to make godly kids today, dads, or 10 rules to be a good dad. I'm saying 10 priorities that lay hold of God and prayer. Prayer, God hears prayer. He said, pray. You don't have because you don't ask. He continually told us to seek, knock, pray. And I'm telling you, unless the Lord builds your house, you're laboring in vain. Don't forget, parent your kids by praying. Seventh, I better rush. Parent your kid, father your child by reading to them. If you want a reader, read to them. But I'm not talking about just the librarian's cliche. I'm talking about reading the scripture to them. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of scripture, Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:13. We looked at it as men, a couple hundred of us this spring when we were doing the study in the pastoral epistle. The public reading of scripture, that's why we read scripture in this setting. At home, there's something about hearing dad read the scripture. Oh, Scott, that's easy for you to say. You're a pastor and you're a reader. Don't say I'm not a reader. If you're not a reader, and there's increasingly more of us are saying that because we're always on this, reading it. Not really. We're looking, we're doing, we're distracted. We don't know how to sit down and read. But how do you learn? Some of us struggle. We didn't even get taught how to sound words out, and we don't even know how to. Just read, and you'll get better. And read God's word. Jesus was saying to a culture just like ours, where they didn't have a lot of printed material and they didn't have a lot of opportunity, he'd say to them regularly, haven't you read? He expected them to read. He expects you and I to read the scripture and read it out loud to your kids. Well, do I remember on 307 Apple Street, just sitting around the table after dinner, and dad saying, okay. And there was a bookcase right there by the little table. And he'd take, and in those days, we were reading the Letters to Young Churches. J.B. Phillips had translated the New Testament with a little modern verbiage, got away from the King James a bit. And dad was reading Letters to Young Churches, the epistles, that's all that were done. The gospels weren't even done yet. But he was reading letters to young churches, and he'd sit and just read after supper. You say, boy, I don't know how to lead devotion, Scott. Just read. I stumble. Stumble. But read. Eighth, father your kids by warning them. Warning them. Really? Yeah. Warning them. The Bible is full of warnings. Jesus Christ spent a lot of time warning. The apostles followed suit. Paul gave warnings and admonitions. Peter would warn. Warn your children. Do you know the first command in the Bible to man is a warning? Adam, we've got all these trees here, but don't eat of that one tree. The day you eat of that tree, oh, don't tell him a warning. That's so negative. And you say, are you sure that's the first one? Didn't he say be fruitful and multiply? No, he didn't say that till he had Eve. The second chapter kind of gives some details of that first chapter. And he did say, be fruitful and multiply. But Adam was alone when Adam was told, don't you eat of that tree, Adam. The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Oh, don't be so negative to your... No, warnings are so good. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall surely perish because you would not listen, Shema, to the voice of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 8, verse 19. And I started to make a list and I was going to read it to you, but it got way too long. Turn over to Proverbs, though, the book of wisdom, and just glance at something with me. Proverbs chapter 1, the book of wisdom. By the way, reading to them brings wisdom. And so when you warn them, are you there in Proverbs 1? Look at verse 8, how it starts. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and don't forsake your mother's teaching. That's a warning, isn't it? Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. These are warnings. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you'll receive my sayings, and then he gives a long challenge with many warnings. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, don't forget my teachings. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Why does he have this tone? And by the way, the first seven chapters start that way. And they're laced with warnings, and the book of Proverbs is laced with warnings. Why is that? Because we're in a war. We're in a spiritual battle. 2021 isn't just hunky-dory. We know that. But we're to put on the full armor of God, and our kids need to be warned. And men, if you realize what you're leading them in and where you're leading them in life, you will warn them. Parent your kids by warning them. 9, father your kids, parent your kids, shepherd your kids by bringing them to church. You'd expect a preacher to say that, wouldn't you? Bring them to church. Why is it that pretty much everybody understands that, really? You ask somebody about their relationship with the Lord, and they'll talk about church. Well, we used to go to church. I don't go to church much. I don't like church. I'm not into organized religion. All the reasons people say, but we instinctively know that if you know the Lord, you're going to want to be with his people, and you're going to want to be worshiping and instructed. And the world instinctively knows that they don't want much part of that. But I'm telling you, bring them to church. Don't make it kind of a casual thing. I know people that think they're part of the church by coming about 1 out of 4 times if it's handy. I was looking through old pictures, trying to put mom's stuff away, you know, and she had a picture of the church down in Eugene when they came out from the Midwest, and they pulled up to the church first, and Grandpa found work by talking to the church. Did anybody have any need a farmhand? And he found some work. And I saw this picture, and I've seen that church. It's still there. And it's a stately-looking building. And she said, this was where we were always going, or something like that in her little writing by the picture. We spent a lot of time here. And I'm glad that my grandpa had that kind of a commitment. When the church was opened, they were there, kind of a thing. Now, we say, and I'd say it clearly, you don't just take them to church and make them a Christian. But if you want your kid to be a basketball player, boy, you really want them to excel. You're going to teach them to dribble skills. You're going to teach them how to shoot. But you never let them get around anybody else, right? Don't ever go to a basketball team or practice or anything like that. No, you just teach them the stuff. You can do it on your own. That's not going to lead to a basketball star. If you like something and you want them to succeed in it, you're going to get them involved in it. And we could say that about 100 things. Bring them to church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. I know young parents that pretty much the weekends are a time to just kind of do what you want, and if you don't have much going, get to church. I know old parents like that. I know lots of parents like that, don't you? You say, let's get on to point 10. Parent your kids, Dad. Father your children by encouraging them. Encouraging them. Parakaleo. We have the word for the Holy Spirit is the noun, parakletos. To come alongside. It's translated thinking about the Holy Spirit as helper, comforter, advocate, the NIV has it. The Old King James, comforter, ESV and New American Standard, helper, one who's called alongside and comes alongside and encourages. Aren't you glad that God is a comforter and an encourager? His very name. He comes alongside. Literally, the word means call them alongside. Come para beside them and call them. There's such need for encouragement, and you're never more Christ-like than when you're encouraging your kids to follow him. My dad was a strict disciplinarian, and he meant business. But I am so thankful, particularly as we matured, but really all the way through when I look back, and I'm in that reflective mode lately, I'm very thankful that he was an encourager. He cared for me, and he came alongside me. And he'd come alongside me in a strong way if I needed it. But there were that faithful caring for me, encouraging me, that's irreplaceable. And so don't let me give you 10 things without saying encourage them. You know, and what will be the result of these things? I almost thought, could I come up with, would it be? And then I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit is the encourager. Dad, when you encourage your children, you're playing his role. And the fruit of the Spirit, the result, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Children who are encouraged, there is a peace, there is a joy, there is a love, there's that Christ-like atmosphere in the home that we all want to see. Next week, 10 more things. I want to just summarize it this way. I think I did say it at the start. Parent your kids. Be a dad by loving Christ. And all these other 10 things flow from that. It's not rocket science. This is right out of the scripture. This is what a man who really loves Christ will love his word, will love your wife, their mom, will discipline your children, will teach them and admonish them and pray for them. That'll happen. So, dads, nurture your love for Christ first and foremost.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, 10 Things I Would Tell a Young Dad, a practical message about biblical fatherhood. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join our outdoor summer services. Throughout the month of July, we'll be holding our morning services in the great outdoors. Come join us on our spacious lawn each of these Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. You can bring your own lawn chairs or blankets or use one of the chairs provided at the service. We'd love to have you join us as we worship our Lord outdoors this summer. If you'd like more details, head on over to our website at swbible.org. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Lead, serve, shepherd by example. By example. I've never gotten over, really, the New Testament emphasis on imitating. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, Paul wrote, Corinthians 11. That's so foreign to the way I think naturally. Don't imitate me, because I know how non-followable I am. But the Bible says we're going to be followed, so we better make sure we're following Jesus Christ. So when he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, you don't imitate the man, you imitate the Christ in the man. And that's why we all need to lead, as it says here, by example.
Join us again next time when we'll be turning to 1 Peter chapter 5. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Shepherd the Flock of God. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.